We appreciate so much your continued partnership with Glad Tidings India. The last Indian church planter you sent out is working in the state of Uttar Pradesh. Now, that state is way up in the northern section of India next to Nepal, and it has a population of 202 million. Ohio has a population of 11.6 million. It is 0.3% Christian. If Uttar Pradesh were a country, it would be the third largest unevangelized population in the world. And that's the place to which this church has sent a church planter to work. And the first year, results have come back of 55 decisions for Christ, 2 ready to be baptized, and 149 that are meeting in little house groups. That's fantastic. That's happening because of you and your involvement and your giving and your prayers. And I wanted to make sure you knew that we're seeing people come to Christ in India because of you, and we thank you very much. And now you'll be sending out 2 more church planters into the state of Tamil Nadu in the south. I'll leave this prayer plaque with you. We call it a prayer plaque because we would like you to hang it up in a conspicuous spot. And every time you look at it, please remember to pray for these 2 church planters. They tell us that they can tell when people are praying because they're engaged in spiritual warfare. They are on the front lines. And so we would appreciate very much, they would appreciate very much your praying for them every time you see this prayer plaque. I first met Dave Kimberly and Howard Welsh. I remember at a restaurant, we set up a meeting here in Massillon. I think it was 1992 or 1993. So it's been about 22 years that we've known one another. And I'm over 40 years now in this ministry, and it has all come about because of 2 missionaries, Bill and Joyce Scott, who went to India in 1950. Joyce went to be with the Lord about 12 years ago, but Bill is 89 years old. The man is still going strong. He goes to India 3 times a year as consultant advisor. He's retired, supposedly. All our staff is Indian. Our work is totally indigenous, but they love him, and his wisdom from all his years of experience is just incredible. And so he is very much involved with the ministry already. God has used his life probably more effectively than any other person that I have ever personally known. And Bill Scott and I were at a church service in California this spring, and we did kind of a unique thing. We shared the message. I've never done that before. Both of us shared together the sermon. And as he was sharing, he first said, he was born in Belfast, Ireland, by the way, and he still has his brogue. And he said, when he came to Christ, he said he had this tremendous desire to read the Bible. He just couldn't stop reading it. And when he said that, my ears really perked up because the same thing happened to me. I came to Christ when I was about 12 years old, and I remember that I just wanted to read the Bible. I would sit down at the kitchen table and not just read 1 or 2 chapters, but whole books of the Bible at one sitting. I just couldn't get enough of it. And I thought, that's interesting that he had that same experience. In Romans 10:17, we read, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you really want to build your faith, read the Bible. No wonder we wanted to read it. In Romans 15:4, the scripture says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. The implication here is that we constantly need to be taught. We need to be growing spiritually all the time. And being a Christian, when it says so that through endurance, if you're really a Christian, it's not easy. It's tough. You have to stand up. You have to be unpopular in some situations. You need to have a lot of courage. And so, as we are immersed in the scriptures, the implication is that the Bible gives us that ability to endure. And then it says, we won't be discouraged because through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Bill Scott said that nothing has impacted and deepened his faith like the Word of God. And when he went to India, he said God spoke to him this one command. He said it was almost like an audible voice. I want you to get my word into every home in India. Well, that seems very basic when you think about it. Just get the Bible into every home. Is that really that significant? But then I thought to myself, well, the Bible is really full of stories of people just like you and me, and it gives us examples of how God has worked in their lives so that we may be encouraged. Who is your favorite biblical character? I don't know if one would come right to your mind, but I'm just sharing with you what comes right to my mind, no question, and that is Joseph. Joseph in the coat of many colors. In Genesis chapters 31 through 50, I remember when I first heard the story of Joseph, I was in second grade. Mrs. Eaches was my Sunday school teacher. She was at least 80 years old. And I remember the spot in the Sunday school room where I was sitting, and we heard the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. But in Genesis 37, we see that out of jealousy, Joseph's brothers actually plotted to kill him, but then they changed their minds and ended up selling him to a caravan of Ishmaelites who took him to a foreign land. But the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. And then as Genesis 39 in Egypt, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. But the Bible says the Lord was with him. And in Genesis 40, in prison, he was forgotten by the chief cupbearer whom he served. And he was not remembered until 2 years later. But the Bible says the Lord was with him. Ultimately, through all of these difficult circumstances, Joseph became second in command in all of Egypt. An incredible story. Reading in Genesis 41, beginning verse 41, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, make way! Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And so that says to us how important it is to continue to be obedient to God, no matter what our circumstances are, and to know that God will be with you. Maybe you may be mistreated by family members. You may be a stranger, maybe not like Joseph in a foreign country, but in a new school or a new job or wherever you might find yourself. People may tell lies about you. You may be falsely accused. You may be treated unjustly. You may be forgotten or feel forgotten like Joseph was in prison for 2 years. But it's so important for us to continue to be obedient and know that God will be with us, and in the end, it will be okay. The Bible is full of characters, real men and women, just like you and me, from whom we can learn tremendous lessons. And then there's books of the Bible that teach us. For example, the book of Deuteronomy, we're taught how God deals with nations. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 10, we read, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then continuing with verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying your God. I'm really quite disturbed about our own country. I feel we're at a major crossroads. And this coming election is so frustrating, I am sure, probably to all of us. But just going to mention a couple of things here to keep in mind. I don't know if you've ever heard of Eric Metaxas or not, but he was mentored by Chuck Colson. And I went to, my wife and I, Elaine and I, went to hear him speak a couple Thursday nights ago. And he was talking about our government and the system we have. And he said, you know, as a democracy, the people determine what happens. But he said, our government is set up with a number of checks and balances. And he said, if the people ever get really stupid, then you have the Supreme Court as checks and balances to keep the nation faithful to the Constitution. And he said, this election is important because of the Supreme Court justices that will be named. So I really believe it is important. I'll just take this moment and say it is important that all Christians vote. David Jeremiah, in his book that my wife began, she reads the books and then she tells me what they say. It's like, and that he said that in the last election, 25 million evangelical Christians did not vote. And if they had, if we could have changed the election. So it's so important that we vote. And I think in this election, it's important that we be thinking about who will nominate the most conservative Supreme Court justices who will be faithful to the Constitution. They really wield a lot more power than a president does for simply 4 years. They can have influence for 20 or 30 years. But then I also recently heard Tony Evans. I don't know him. He's a black preacher from Texas who's really good and really preaches the Bible. And I was encouraged by what he said. He said, there's not going to be a change in the White House until there's a change in my house, meaning the church. And it's important that we remember 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. I'm so glad you're having this prayer time tonight, right? Isn't it tonight? And seek my face. And I think seek my face means to seek to please God, not our culture, and turn from their wicked ways. And for all of us, no matter how many years we've been Christian, you know, the old nature keeps springing up. If it doesn't with you, then there's something wrong with me. Because I'm constantly, the old nature springs up. And when, you know, we've got to ask God always to help us be the kind of people that he wants us to be. Turn from the wicked ways, then God's response is, I will hear your prayer, I will forgive your sins, I will heal your land. I believe that the people of God, all of us, need to be obedient to the word of God because only God has the power to change a nation. The only hope for America is, I believe, God's people turning back to God. And we need to pray for another great awakening. We've been in this place before, and God has raised up his people and done a miraculous work. We need to be concerned, but we need to be praying and really trust God. Well, also with the prophetic books, for example, in the Bible, we're warned of the danger of living by our fallen instincts. In the Gospels teach us character, how to be like Christ, and of course, giving us hope for eternity. The whole message of the Scriptures is that Jesus died, that our sins could be forgiven, and that we will live again. So when you look at all these ways that the Bible affects us as believers, it's not surprising that Bill Scott says that nothing has impacted or deepened his faith like the Word of God, and when he went to India, his burden was to get a Bible into every home. A second motivation for getting the Bible out is that it's really such a strong tool in evangelism. I don't know if you've heard of Ravi Zacharias. He's an Indian who's become known worldwide as a wonderful Christian apologist. Bill Scott knew him when he was quite young. Ravi Zacharias was a Brahmin. He was well-educated. He was an atheist. And Bill Scott says, in his memory, Ravi Zacharias came to faith in Christ simply because he read the Bible and it spoke to him. Hebrews 4:12 says the word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Ephesians 6:17 says the Bible, the word of God, is a sword of the Spirit. In Isaiah 55:11, we read that it will not return empty, it will accomplish what God desires, it will achieve the purpose for which it was sent. And I honestly believe that one of the reasons that we are seeing such incredible fruitfulness, I was asked at dinner last night, why do you suppose we're seeing so many people come to Christ, at least in our ministry in India at this time? There's a number of reasons, but I believe one key reason is that the Bible is central in all of our ministries. In our literacy ministry, I mean, it's hard to believe in this day and age, 1.2 billion people in India, that 50% are still functionally illiterate. But our literacy program, the primers, are full of Bible stories, just like the old McGuffey Reader, the New England primer, when our nation was started. Then people went to school, they learned on the Bible. And so the Bible is central in that literacy program, and every literacy student who graduates after 10 months of classes, the first book they receive is their own copy of the Bible. The church planters that we train, they have 300 hours of Bible study that first year. And Bill Scott has said, and I think this is kind of unique, the only textbook in our church planting school is the Bible. And as these church planters go out, they visit homes, and the first thing they do is they give out either a Gospel of John or an introductory Bible study course to get them really reading the scriptures. And also with our Vacation Bible School program, the kids from Hindu families memorize Bible verses. They sing scripture songs, and they go back to their Hindu parents and sing those songs and recite those verses of scripture, and so the word of God goes forth. I'm really excited now by what is happening in reaching unreached people groups in India. 5 years ago, a book came out called Operation World, which examines what's happening all over the world in missions and the conditions of countries. And it made the statement that of all the unreached people groups in the world with populations of 10,000 or more, 75%, people who have never heard the name of Jesus before, 75% are found in one country, and that's India. And we felt at that time, we've got to put together a strategy for really targeting these unreached people groups. We didn't have to worry about what to do because these ministries we've been doing for 25 years just continue to work. So we figured we'd start the first year with the literacy because so many of these unreached people groups are illiterate. And because they're illiterate, they are practicing bad health, lack of sanitation. Our literacy program addresses those needs so that every dimension of their lives can be positively uplifted in the name of Christ if you start with a literacy program. So that's what we do the first year. Our second year for unreached people group strategy is to train 10 church planters to build upon the base then by the literacy teachers. And then the third year, to reach families, 1,000 kids in Vacation Bible School and adult literacy classes for 300 more adults. We felt led to do that 5 years ago and give it a try. Are you ready for this? We have now had, in the last 5 years, 53 unreached people groups where that three-year strategy has been completed. Now, these are people who, when local churches that we work with and train go into these areas, most of these people are 80, 90% illiterate. They're drinking stagnant water. There's tremendous immorality. A lot of these places, men have 2 and 3 wives and they're unfaithful to the wife they have. They're practicing black magic. So, I mean, you're going into high spiritual combat, many of these are still sacrificing animals out of guilt. I mean, this is primitive, rough, challenging stuff. You think it's rough winning people to Christ in Massillon. At least they're human. I mean, these are rough areas. In the last 5 years, in 53 of these unreached people groups where this three-year strategy has been completed, the average response per unreached people group is over 1,300 people making decisions for Christ, over 200 baptized, and often over 1,000 attending church in 3 years. It's been incredible. I am so excited to stand here and tell you this. I've been in this for 40 years, and every decade it gets better. We're seeing a moving of the Spirit of God in India like we've never seen before. And it's interesting to me, when you think of the last days and how our world and the whole world is shaping up, and the Bible says one of the signs will be the gospel will be preached to all peoples. It is happening. So that's quite exciting to me. So it doesn't surprise me, therefore, that when Bill Scott said that God spoke to him and said, get the Bible to every home, that this is so foundational, that there's nothing more foundational to the spread and establishment of the Christian faith than the Word of God. And so it doesn't surprise me that when Bill Scott, we had our board meeting back in April, and he and I were just talking. He's one of the most humble guys you'd ever meet. I don't guess you haven't met him. He wouldn't impress you in the sense that he's so quiet and humble. But God has used him incredibly. And he and I were talking at their board meeting. We usually go out to a restaurant for lunch, and the other board members were talking about something, and Bill and I were just having a private conversation. And he said, this May the 5th, 2016, he said, I'm going to be 89 years old. And he said, next year, May 5th, 2017, I'm going to be 90 years old. And he said, India has said that they want me there for my 90th birthday. And he says, they'll probably have 200 to 300 leaders from all over India come to celebrate my birthday with me. He just said it like matter of fact. My birthday will be celebrated by Lane and me. He's having 200 to 300 church leaders from all over India. And he just says, yeah, I'll probably have that. And then he got rather animated, and he says, but I'm telling them I don't want presents. He said, any money they would spend, and they love Bill Scott in India. I mean, just love him. He said, any money they would spend on me, he said, I want it given for Bibles. And so when he said that, I thought to myself, if Indian Christians will want to honor a missionary like this, who has spent so many years in India and living in, I mean, putrid conditions. I was with Bill in India, and he said, for relaxation, I take a nice walk every evening along this river. The river smelled so bad, I could hardly breathe. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what he did for pleasure and relaxation. And the conditions in which he and his wife lived when they first went to India. And we were riding with him, it's a dangerous situation. I said, Bill, has your life ever been threatened? He says, oh, yes, many times. Life threatened many times. And I just thought to myself, if our Indian brothers and sisters are going to honor a servant of the Lord like this, why shouldn't we too? So I said, every church I go between May 5th, 2016 and May 5th, 2017, I'm going to see if we can honor Bill Scott's 90th birthday by extra Bibles. So that's what your extra offering is for today. I'll conclude with just a second truth where Dr. Scott and I really agree strongly. And that is the importance of obeying not only the Word of God, but the leading of the Holy Spirit each day. Because God works progressively in our lives. I want to share with you a devotional booklet, a page from a devotional booklet that Bill Scott wrote. He says, one reason why it is important not to be diverted from God's call is that he is a superb long-term planner. Have you seen that in your life? Man, have I seen it. I mean, I've just seen God started here and then led me to this and led me to this, and that set the groundwork for this. And I mean, it just keeps going on and on. He can see how things can work out for good and not so good that we cannot. I hope you remember when I was a young missionary how the council had assigned us to a very lovely mission station. When Bill and Joyce went to India in 1950, missionaries lived on mission compounds. But they said, we don't want to live on a mission compound. We want to live in the villages with the people. But that was not where God wanted us to be, and they changed the assignment and sent us to a school in a small jungle village. It was a small, poor school then, but now it is a college, and graduates from that school are now leaders of churches all over India. When we go into a new area, we often find a graduate of Pettipalli School. When that happens, it immediately opens up a whole area through that contact. I'm often asked how we were able to open up work all over India, because we've got ministry literally all over India, 17 different languages. And people say, well, how do you even get started in all those places? And Bill says, Bill, how were you able, this is Bill Scott, how were you able to go in those areas, up in the Hindi area, the Bengali area, the Marathi area? How could you go into unknown? How could you go unknown and start a work? The answer is, I often went in known, not unknown, because the church leaders in those areas were graduates of our school in Pettipalli years earlier. Obedience to God's call at the beginning gave us a relationship with future leaders. We did not realize at the time that we were preparing leadership for many years later. But God could see that. God knew that he wanted to open a door in some place that would need the gospel. The multiplication of our ministry has happened because of our obedience to God many years earlier. So I close my message to you today, and I just say I have genuinely enjoyed being back here with you again. May we know how powerful the Word of God is in our lives and in touching other people's lives. And may God help us to obey that Word and be lights in a very dark world. I conclude with these two verses of Scripture, 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of rams. And Genesis 6:22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. May we pray together. Father in heaven, this morning we pray for India, and those church planners and literacy teachers and VBS teachers that are out there on the front lines, that you will be with them as your word goes forth. But we also pray for our country, especially with these elections coming up. Oh God, help us to be your people, to be a people that follow your word. And we pray for a new awakening, that your spirit will come upon this land. We know our futures does not depend on who's president, but on the church. Help that church to be a body of believers that is true to your word and obeys your word. Help us in our individual lives to obey your word and the leading of your Holy Spirit in our personal lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.